Greetings, and welcome once again to Fireside Chat. Here we are sitting around an open fire. No, we're not really. It's actually very warm out. This is your host, Zany Mystic, and I welcome you all. Tonight, we have an internationally known spiritual teacher and tonal alchemist, Mary Ebersbacher. I hope I said that right. Mary works on many dimensional levels using techniques such as toning, breathwork, tarot, bodywork, and spiritual counseling. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mary. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, and how are you?
I'm warm.
I say I don't know if all of America is warm, but I'm in California, and it's very warm here.
I am too. I'm going to blame it on global warming. Gaia has a temperature, and we haven't figured out what the cure is yet.
I'm in Palm Springs.
Oh, my goodness. I was just thinking about how nice it would be to be by a swimming pool right about now.
Well, I go in the morning and I go at night. And when the show's over, I'm going to go out and just be out there because it's very warm.
Oh, bless you. Well, that sounds wonderful. Well, have a dip for me, will you?
I will. I'll think of you. Will you be able to get my telepathic...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm good at sending telepathic transmissions.
Mary, I'm curious about what you do. Can you describe for me and for the listeners what tonal healing is?
Well, it's healing done with vibration.
Okay.
And frequencies. And so I do it with my voice.
Ah.
In medicine, if you've ever heard of MRIs are done with vibrations, sending sound waves.
Uh-huh.
Getting a picture back from the sound waves. They also break up tumors with sound now. And then there's ultrasound, which sends heat into areas of the body. I just happen to use my voice to do it. Yes.
Do you find that works fairly quickly? Is it effective, or is it something that... Do you work on the energetic levels, or, you know, is it something that healing occurs over a period of time? Or?
Well, I think it really depends on the being that you're working on, to be honest with you. When I work on people, I understand, because I also use my hands. I do body work with people, and I utilize the sound as a part of it. And I break up energy in the body, energy blocks in the body. And I work actually on the physical, the emotional, and the etheric planes at the same time. Now, healing occurs not through me, but through the individual I'm working with. And that's happens in any case of healing. That's the intention of the being that's being healed. That's who does the healing, really. So if you have pure intention, and it happens.
Do you ever encounter anything like implants or things of that nature that need to be removed? Anything that...
I understand what you're talking about.
I figured.
I would imagine that I do, although, it's kind of interesting. In my opinion, we're kind of like... implanted with ideas and concepts and beliefs. And those can be just as damaging as something that might be implanted into your body in a physical way.
Oh, yeah.
So, in fact, maybe even more so because you're not aware of them.
Yeah.
So, many of us, and so I always am working, in my opinion, on implants.
Yeah.
Because we are implanted with many ideas and concepts and beliefs that absolutely have nothing to do with our spiritual vibration, who we are as an essence, a spiritual essence. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Did I
answer total
your
agreement.
Okay.
In fact, you know, your bio is wonderful because, and there's stuff I'm dying to get to, but I'm kind of trying to.
No, you're not dying to get to it. You're just anxious.
I'm anxious. Yeah, there you go. That's a better way to say
better
it.
Better word.
You mentioned something that is one of my pet peeves, and that is that there are so many negative energies in the cities that impact us, like cell phones, microwaves, And most of that stuff is not intentionally meant to harm us.
No.
But there is some stuff out there that does have somewhat of a nefarious intent to it. Can you speak about that and how people can deal with it?
Are you talking about government?
Yeah.
Testing the stuff that Nick Baggage talks about.
Yeah.
Well, I do. You really are putting me on the spot here. I love it. Anyway, it's a good thing I know a little bit about this. Well, they are doing. The sound can be, and I would dare to say is being used in ways to work against us instead of for us.
Yeah.
So there are sound waves. Sound waves are powerful, and you don't even hear them.
Yeah.
I mean, the effects that you're having with most of the sound in the world are sounds you don't even hear.
Mm-hmm.
They're just vibrations. They're waves that are being, that are hitting you. And because we're all just an energy force anyway. We're all just a vibration of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So these waves are hitting our energy waves, and if we don't do something to counter them, then they can be very chaotic to our own natural harmony. I believe we have our own natural harmony, and that if we can maintain our natural harmony and our natural frequency of balance, then life is much easier for us to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that bombard us, as I think I mentioned in my bio, like there are the microwave energies, there are electromagnetic energies that are hitting our bodies. The cellular phones, the satellites, they're all sending waves of energy down that we're, capturing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them are very chaotic, not to mention sirens and people screaming and yelling, gunfires, car accidents, there's so many things that are out there. And what we need to do is we need to find things like music that soothe us and bring us back into our natural harmonic frequency.
Well,
that's what I would suggest people do. In fact, I have CDs that can help people do that.
Good segue. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I wish I were just the kind of person who could say my music is the only music, but realistically, that's not true. But if you find when I do create music, I do create it with the intention of healing.
Uh-huh.
With the intention of bringing you back to your natural state of beingness, to your natural frequency.
Uh-huh. Are your CDs oral in the sense?
Well, yes, Lance. No.
See, I hardly know you.
I know. Okay.
Are they? Did you use the music and like crystal bowls or? A combination of things, or what?
A combination of things.
That sounds good.
I have one CD that I did with a group of people in a garage, and it's just probably that CD has probably got the highest vibration to it. It's done with drums and flutes and didgeridoos and my voice and a crystal bowl.
Oh, what's the name of
that? Huh?
What's the name of that CD?
It's called Ancient Sounds in Paradise.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, it's a. Before we did it, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to use the equipment. And it's amazing how well this CD turned out. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, I was like, oh my God, God was there. I mean, there was the God in all of us producing this.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we sat around and we each wrote an intention that we wanted to create with the music. And then we stood in a circle and read our intention, and then we burned the intentions, and then we started working, and it just kind of flowed. It was all spontaneous and impromptu, and it was just amazing. And it's very, very powerful because the intention of all the people that were involved in it. So it's just, and it was like I was kind of guided by spirit to do these CDs, and I'm going, okay, how am I going to do this? And so you run into the right people, and it happened.
Wow.
And for the second CD, I got this sense that I had to do another CD.
Uh-huh.
And So I knew I wanted to do one with a flute because my voice resonates beautifully with a flute.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually resonates beautifully with the crystal bowls as well. But in my mind, this is just in my mind, a lot of people say, why don't you just do a CD with your voice? We just want to hear your voice.
Yeah.
But those people who just, they love me, you know.
Huh.
I mean, they love me, and that's very sweet.
Yeah.
But I kind of think that it's interesting to hear a combination of sounds.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
And I like to wrap my voice around a combination of sound, actually. So the second CD I did was a keyboard and a flute player, and it's called Homecoming to Spirit.
Okay.
And when we did the CD, the only thing I knew is I had written a letter to God that I knew that needed to be on the CD, and so I had heard that in my mind,
mm-hmm.
that it needed to be done and how it needed to be done. So that was the only thing I went in there kind of programmed to do, and then everything else just came out very impromptu.
Wow.
And then I have a new CD coming out, and it's with a piano.
Ooh.
And it's magical.
Wow.
So it'll be a set. It'll be two CDs in one set, a meditation inspiration CD. So I just get all this inspiration. It's so wonderful. What can I say?
Well, it is. I mean, I love how that works, you know, that we're kind of filled to overflowing, and then all there's left to do is to just be, and everybody, the right people show up and the right equipment, and then things kind of synchronistically happen by themselves.
I know.
You know, it's like when we let the universe present itself to us, we're so busy resisting it so much of the time that it just can't even show up for us. But
I know. I agree with you.
Sound like,
or we have to read
person.
All the books to learn how.
Exactly.
I mean, it's there already. John did you ever hear John Bradshaw once said something that I thought was so phenomenally, it was quite interesting. He said you can tell a self-help group, he said, that there'll be a gate to heaven, and then there'll be a table with the book on how to get to heaven, and the line will be behind the table with the book, how to get to heaven. And I think about that all the time, and I made this choice that I wasn't going to be that person standing behind the table. I was going to go through that gate.
Yeah.
So
I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I have an opinion that, you know, it works in business to go direct to the source. Why wouldn't it work in spiritual realms?
Well, it does.
You know, why do we have to have intermediaries and interlopers constantly monitoring and presaying that they can get access for us? We just go direct.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman.
It works the best. It has for me anyway. I have, I can tell you it works the best. When I do my energy work, I just go directly to divine source.
Mm-hmm.
When I do anything, I call in the divine source, and I ask that the 100% pure light force energy be just coming through me. And we are, you know, well, this is the world according to Mary, actually. I can only speak of the world according to Mary. But
right.
In my opinion, you know, I believe there is divine source and that I am an aspect of that.
Uh-huh.
And I believe each and every creature on this planet and universally and globally and in all the galaxies that there are an aspect of the One.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that I'm very connected to the All. And that the vibration of every living thing lives within me. So when I call in the divine source, any one of those vibrations that are necessary for you at that particular time, I have access to.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Is that amazing?
Yes.
Is that, how unlimited is that?
Well, I mean, the only other limitation would be leaving your body. And we might be witness to that someday in the near future.
Well, I think we do leave our body. We just we're just not kind of conscious on the level of all the dimensions we're in, actually.
Do you feel like,
I think I'm in lots of them at one time.
Do you feel like the vibrations are rising in preparation for 2012, or are you a person who believes that there is going to be a shift of some kind in consciousness, or?
Oh, I do believe there'll be a shift, and I believe that as everything is changing, Earth changes.
Uh-huh.
And it's not, I don't think it's the first time that Earth has made an incredible shift. And I believe that we have to be vibrationally ready for that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I do believe that's happening. I believe that time is speeding up for me, but I kind of wonder, is it because of my age?
Let's not get into that.
Because I remember, you know, if you ask a 10-year-old if time is speeding up,
yeah,
they might say, no, it's going really slow.
Oh.
I can't wait to be a teenager. So, you know, I'm not clear.
Yeah.
If it's really, truly speeding up, but in my perception, it is.
Yeah.
So I can only speak for my perception.
Mine seems to change between either going extremely fast or it just seems to be dragging along.
I don't think mine drags anymore. It, you know, I fill it up with so many things. I do body work with people, with
uh-huh.
clients, and then I'm writing a book because I write poetry.
Oh,
and so I'm writing a book, and I just finished a little book called Transitions: The Nature of Things, and so I just self-published that, and then I do bath salts that I tone into that are just really magical,
mm-hmm.
and then I started making jewelry, and
doing
and putting energy into jewelry and selling jewelry and stuff. So I just have so many things, you know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I just don't seem to have a drag. Anyway,
no, I'm working on my drag.
Okay, good.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was really interesting, and I know a lot of the listeners are already believe or have had these kinds of experiences, but you mentioned having encountered some mystical or ET experiences.
Yes. Yes.
Would you like to talk about that?
Oh, I love talking.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm sure that I had encounters prior to my conscious encounter. Does
okay.
that make sense to you?
Yes.
So I was cognitively aware
uh-huh.
of the encounter back in December, I believe it was December of 1996, when I was in Hawaii, the big island of Hawaii. And I couldn't sleep, and I went out to the hot tubs about 4 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, in December. It was in December.
Hmm.
And I sat out there, and I looked into the sky, and all of a sudden a series of lights appeared. And they were pulsating. And
ooh.
I knew they were communicating with me. I knew they were communicating with me. I knew I understood what they were saying, but I just wasn't consciously. I mean, in this dimension, I couldn't express it to you, but in my spiritual center, in the essence of who I am,
mm-hmm.
I knew what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel that they were recalibrating me and getting me ready for the work that I'm here to do. Because I did come in specifically to do work with people, specifically to work with people during the transition that we're going through.
Okay.
And I have been given gifts for that, and I was recalibrated to bring those gifts through back in 1996. This is my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
And so there are these series of lights, and it took me 6 years. I mean, sometimes, you know, we can be so dense, you know, there's something right before us and we don't understand what it is.
Yeah.
It was like 6 years before I realized what the pattern in the sky was.
Huh.
But the pattern in the sky was the tree of life, the Kabbalah tree of life.
Oh, my.
It was amazing. Oh,
wow.
Lance, it was like there were these lights that were in this configuration of the tree of life, and they were pulsating. And then there were these laser lights that would go from one light to the other, and then they were pulsating, and then these laser beams would go to from one light to another. And it was like, you know, that little game when you play it and the lights light up. And well, anyhow, it was like that. The laser was going from one light to another.
Wow.
And as it was pulsating and going from one light to another, I could feel that my body was just being reconfigured. It was being recalibrated in some way. It was being,
uh-huh.
you know, the vibration was changing so that I could bring through whatever it was that I needed to bring through.
Uh-huh.
Because, see, I had become aware many, many, many years ago that when I turned 45, that I would be doing what I came on this planet to do. I would be, you know, fully engaged in working through that. And when I was 44, I started doing body work. And then when I was 45, I started doing workshops with Tom Kenyon, doing chair massage at his workshops. And I was actually at a Tom Kenyon workshop, and he does sound healing. I don't know if your audience is familiar with him, but he does sound healing with crystal bowls, and he works with a Hathors. And so I was very conscious that I was here to do something, that I had a reason to be here. And I really didn't know what it was. I just had to allow it to come forth. I just had to be an open vessel, you know. And when I started doing massage and the response that people gave to me, I realized that this was probably what it was going to be. And but it's really turned out to be so much more than that, you know. I mean, it just keeps expanding and expanding. The ways I can express the energy of who I am and do healing work, I guess, with people has expanded in many ways since that time. But, I mean, because I don't just do the sound and I just don't do massage. I, you know, I do so many things. But anyhow, it wasn't a surprise to me that this was happening, that I was cognitively sitting there aware of it. And every night they pulled me out. That whole the five days I was there, I got pulled out into that hot tub to sit there and receive this energy. And every night that configuration appeared. And I would tell everybody, and people would come out, and they saw the lights and everything, but everybody had reasons that they were something different than what they were.
Yeah.
And it was okay, because I don't need someone to affirm what I know.
Exactly.
And I knew that these were beings that were working with me, and I felt very honored and very blessed by it.
Yeah, I know that many people in the audience have had those experiences, and, you know, we're... It's like there's a, like a wall of shame or fear around expressing them because we don't want to be thought of as crazy or, you know, nutty or different. But the truth of the matter is we are crazy anyway. So
yeah, I am already so.
We might as well just tell the truth and be done with it, you know. And
I can't hide anything. You know what, Lance? It's just it's impossible. For, I mean, I just kind of am who I am. And I get in trouble being who I am on this physical plane anyway, that you know, I'm kind of misunderstood in many ways. But how can you be anything but what you are?
Really? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and really, just really, how can you be anything but what you are?
Yeah.
I know people attempt it, and I work on a lot of bodies who do that. But
it just creates something that needs to be released.
Yeah.
So in essence, when we're not being ourselves, we're really creating lessons for ourselves that will come up and eventually have to be processed.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to just be yourself in the first place.
Well, I don't know. Actually, it's not a lot easier, to be honest. It's not really any easier or any. It's not easier or it's not more difficult.
Yeah.
It just takes a complication out of it. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to be judgmental here about people and the way they just decide to live their lives and stuff. Because I don't know their lessons.
Exactly.
And I don't know what their opportunities are. So
exactly.
Sometimes when eyes are closed, it's for a reason.
Exactly.
So I'm not really here to. I'm not really here to judge that. Really, that's not my position.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that. You've done a lot of traveling too, and you've seen some incredible places. Like you've been to Egypt, and I believe you've been to, you've been to most of the major places that have spiritual places. Is that not correct?
I've been not to all though. I want to go to more. there's more I want to go to, but I've been to Peru. After I went to Hawaii, Spirit took me to Peru.
Okay.
I mean, it's always been, I've been kind of guided to these places. In Peru, again, I was being recalibrated. All of these ancient sites, you know, if you're willing to receive the information, the frequencies and the information through frequency that they have to offer, that's what they're there for. They're there to awaken and to remind you of who you are. And so I went to Peru, and I laid on this slab of mountain that you lay and the sun just beats down, and there you are, just absorbing, you know, the vibration of the raw energy sun. And then, and you're laying on the divinity of the mother, you know, Gaia, Mother Earth.
Wow.
And you're just, you know, you're sandwiched between these two incredible frequencies.
Wow.
And it's just the most amazing thing.
Jeez.
And I got to go into like a cave in Machu Picchu, and it was like being in the womb of Mother, and we did a blessing inside of the cave. It was just amazing. I didn't really go on a tour or anything. I mean, these things come up in my life, and I just do it, you know, because it comes up. And then the next trip I took was to Bali, and we went to many of the sacred sites. But I had to face a lot of my little darknesses in Bali.
Okay.
And that was kind of an interesting trip. And then I think the next trip I took was to Egypt.
Okay.
And that, I was told before I went there, actually, you're from up north, right?
Yes, you're in Nevada.
You go to WESAC, don't you?
I haven't yet.
You haven't? Oh, well, okay. I was at WESAC back in 1999.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to go to Egypt. And I was going to Egypt and England that year. Both trips were that year. And I was in WESAC, and two people individually said they had information to give me. They, you know, one came to me and said he had information to give me, and the other one, we did an exchange with a reading.
Uh-huh.
And both of them had the same message, which was the message that I had already received, that I was going to be my sound. The work I do with sound would be brought to me in Egypt, that it would be awakened, or I would be reconnected to that. And one of the messages that I was given was that the person saw me being given a rod or a staff. And I said, well, he said, do you understand that? And I said, yeah, I do, because in the hieroglyphs, the staff is the atoning fork, and they used sound healing in the ancient times, and it's recorded in the hieroglyphs, and they have a healing temple in Saqqara, which is near Memphis. They're right within the area of Memphis in Egypt. So I went there expecting, you know, to be hit by these, you know, thunderbolts and lightning and stuff. And, you know, and I had this amazing trip there. I mean, I toned everywhere. I toned in the sarcophagus in the King's Chamber. I toned in at the healing temple in Saqqara. I toned wherever we were, in Luxor and in the temples. I just did sound wherever I went. It was just to reconnect to that vibration. And so, but there were no thunderbolts, Lance, none. And so I came home and I thought, well, gee, I guess we were all wrong. It's like, you know, but I had a great time. So I guess it's okay. The most amazing thing, we, just to backtrack and then I'll finish, but we went to the pyramids, to the Giza Plateau at dawn. And it was not a legal thing to do. You weren't supposed to be there. So we had played a lot of bakshish for someone to take us there. And so we were up there, and the sun was rising. And around the pyramids, I could see these little orbs that everybody's talking about now. And they were just floating around. And I could see them with my naked eye. And then all of a sudden, I looked up to the sun, and the Sphinx was right there. And I saw the sun was just penetrating the eyes of the Sphinx.
Ooh.
And I nearly started to cry. It was just the most powerful experience, because I looked and I realized that was the raw energy. That's how they gave the sun the name, raw. Because it's raw energy, you know. It was just this raw energy that was being, this is just the world according to Mary again, being absorbed and taken in through the Sphinx, to be used, to be transformed through the pyramids into some other kind of energy.
Wow.
So that's what I felt so strongly. And then when I was there, I felt that I had participated in raising the pyramids. And I've always felt that they were they were built with sound and crystals, that there were like 1,000 voices in harmonic, you know, creating a harmonic that would raise those, you know, levitate those rocks into place. And when I was there, I felt it, you know. And there were several other places I felt that I have been to in other times of Egypt, like when we went to the temples and stuff. So it was just an amazing trip for me. So when I didn't get the thunderbolt, I thought, well, at least I had a great trip. And then I came home, and about 6 months after I came home, one of the people on the trip who I happen to, she goes to a lot of the conferences that I work at, and she sent me this picture, and I'm in the sarcophagus toning with the crystal bowl.
Oh, my.
And there's an orb the size of a basketball on the top of my crown chakra.
Wow.
And I knew that that was spirit reconnecting me to that ancient sound, because I know that when I do the sound work, it's not of this dimension. It just is not of this dimension. I mean, the frequencies that are coming through me are, well, I know they go up to at least the 23rd dimension, but I don't work on people like that. When I tone rocks and stones and stuff, they can receive it, but most people can't receive that kind of vibration. But anyway, so I knew that when I saw that, that was happening. And then the pictures, we got a disc from one of the people on the trip that was recording it through his camera. So we got this CD of pictures. And right after the sound work, the King's Chamber was filled with probably 1 million orbs.
Wow.
And they were recorded on camera, and this was before the digital cameras.
Jeepers creepers.
What?
That's a jeepers creepers.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, it is so awesome. So, I mean, I've just been so blessed with so many just magical experiences, like going through dimensions. Like when I was in, I guess I shouldn't talk so much. I talk a lot.
Oh, I like that. That's great.
Well, when I was up in, I have to just share this, when I was in Mount Shasta.
Oh, yeah.
Right after I came back, I think it was right after I came back from Egypt, and before I went to England, I had met someone from Australia who, see, I believe that we live in all sorts of dimensions at one time.
Yes.
That we're not linear at all, and that there is no such thing as really time. And so I'm in one lifetime, I guess that's how you would relate to it, but I'm in one dimension at the same time I'm in this dimension. And so when I was at WESAC, I met this person who I kept calling Peter, although that wasn't his name. And, it, you know, we just made this instant connection, and sometimes, you know, how we meet people and we make these instant connections, it's like you know them. And so we kind of developed a relationship, and I went back up to Mount Shasta because he stayed there during the summer, and we went to some of the sacred sites around Mount Shasta. And this was after I went to Egypt. I went up to Mount Shasta. And so he told me that there was this portal at a place called the Pluto Caves.
Okay, at Mount Shasta? Okay.
It's right outside of Mount Shasta. You have to drive north. And, it, you know, you drive north towards Oregon. Anyway, it's a place called Pluto Caves. And so we went there, and he said that there was a portal there. And so we hiked around, and it's all this lava rock and everything. And we went to this where this wall was, and we held hands and literally were sucked through this wall, this rock wall. And when we got to the other side, we were living in this life where we're together in another dimension as a couple.
Wow.
And it was amazing, and neither one of us could really talk about it because the minute I got afraid, I got sucked back through, you know. And I had this fungus on my eye for about a year from that experience because I really sucked. I went through that rock. I know I did. And I know that he did, too. Although sometimes experiences are just a little too powerful for us to talk about. So he left me a note, and it said, "Helen, thank you for a great experience. Love, Peter." And I knew when I read that note that he had probably experienced the same thing I did, and that in that incarnation or in that dimension that my name was Helen and we were together as a couple.
Wow.
And so it was just an amazing, amazing experience. But I've gone, actually, I've gone through portals when I went to New Zealand and in Hawaii, a portal opened for me. So it wasn't my first experience, but, you know, those are just amazing experiences. And they don't happen every day, but mm-hmm. they're amazing when they do.
Mm-hmm. I've
talked too much about it.
No. I'm fascinated. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I love to explore, you know, because I've had similar experiences, maybe
Have
nothing
you?
Quite like the one at Mount Shasta, but things that are just as unusual.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I live for those things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't really make them happen and you can't force them. But if you're living in alignment with your soul or your spirit, then you're just automatically led, like you said, to the next place or the right place, and then you meet somebody, and then it's kind of like a journey.
Yeah.
You know, a mystical journey, and some people are fortunate enough to have more adventurous journeys that span the globe, but, you know, it's an inner journey anyway, so you don't have to go to Egypt to have your inner journeys.
No, you don't.
In fact, are you going to be going to Mount Shasta this coming 7th of July?
You mean when David Icke is going to be there?
Yes.
You know, I am not.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Arizona,
and
I had considered going, but I usually don't do things unless I can do massage or something at the events. And they don't have vendors there.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not going to be there for that.
I'm going to be visiting there. And maybe I'll take a look and see if I can find those Pluto caves myself.
If you go to the hospice there in Mount Shasta, if you go to the hospice, they have this little card describing the sacred sites around Mount Shasta.
Oh, okay.
And they give you specific directions to the caves.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
So, of all the places that you've been, was there one in particular that, you know, was more magical than the rest, or are they all kind of, what did you find in England?
I've been to England and Australia, New Zealand, and France.
Oh.
And, God, they were all amazing. I mean, how could you say one thing was better than the other? They all had their magic. In England, I had a great experience I can share with you if you're interested.
Yes, I'd love to hear.
I was participating in the closing ceremonies at the Crop Circle Symposium that's there in Wiltshire County, and I was toning with the crystal bowl, and there was a gentleman drumming, and we were drumming. The closing ceremony was in a snake, the snake crop circle that was created that year, earlier in that year, and there was still the impression in the grass, in the crop.
Uh-huh.
And so the woman who had created, she was the producer of the event, had created this closing ceremony where the men and women would come through, and it was a way of like bringing the male-female energy together
mm-hmm.
in this snake as it was, you know, woven through. And there happened to be another person doing crystal bowls there, and she had 7 crystal bowls, and she was in the head of the snake, and I was in the tail of the snake with this gentleman, and he was drumming, and we were toning and drumming the male. We were the male female energy, bringing the male female energy into the snake.
Wow.
And so I had, since I can't hold a crystal bowl for hours at a time, we brought a little TV tray, a little wooden TV tray down to the field,
uh-huh.
and I set my crystal bowl on it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm toning, and as I'm toning, the stalks of these, it was a flax field,
uh-huh.
these flax stalks were just bending into the bowl. And I couldn't keep them, you know, out. I mean, I kept them out, but they didn't want to stay out. They just kept bending into that bowl, and it was so amazing. And I thought, oh my goodness, I bet we're creating the harmonic that creates the pyramids, because I believe that they are created with sound, you know, sound frequencies. I think that's what brings them in,
uh-huh.
makes their form, creates their form. But that's just, again, the world according to Mary. But
you're not alone in that thought.
Huh?
You're not alone in that thought.
Well, good. I'm glad. But I always want to make it clear that everything that comes out of my mouth is just the world according to my understanding of it. I'm not, you know, it's...
You're not...
They may be very legitimate things, and they could be true, but they just are my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
I just like
that.
To have that disclaimer.
Yes.
Anyway, but, so, it was just amazing, and then I turned around,
mm-hmm.
and we happened to be inside of one of the chalk horses.
Mm-hmm.
That you've heard of that are there, and above the horse was a knight on a black horse, and I couldn't believe, oh my God, I'm, you know, a knight in shining armor, and I turned away, and I looked back, and it was gone, and last, 2 years ago, I was at a crop circle conference that they have called Finds of Destiny in Tempe.
Uh-huh.
And I was working there, and I found out that I was not the only one that saw that horse.
Mm.
That other people saw that. That vision was there. So
wow.
Many of, you know, that energy was brought to us, and those of us that chose to see it could see it. And there was this magical knight on a horse.
Wow.
It was just quite magical. So, and there was a lot of things about the trip to England that was amazing. We went to Stonehenge,
mm.
and we got inside of Stonehenge because we had I had friends there that got us a group pass to go in, and there were four of us, and we went in before it opens to the public. We went into the circle. Well, I think we had from 7:30 to 8:30 was our time.
Uh-huh.
And I had just come back from Egypt. And when I was in Egypt, I was at one of these sites that are not legal to go to, where they consider it to be the landing site, the landing site, and it's ancient and have... Well, I can't remember the name of it, though. I wish I could.
Mm-hmm.
But William Henry just recently took a trip there, and he was talking about it on the Coast to Coast show. So if people were listening to that, then they'll know what I'm talking about. But anyhow, we were in there, and these little stones were asking me to take them.
Huh.
So I asked our guide, Hakim, if it would be okay, because he's an elder, and he held the rock, and he said, yes, this is for you to take. And then another stone. So there were three stones that asked me to take them.
Wow.
And so I took them, and so when I went into Stonehenge and I opened my bowl, my crystal bowl, I was taking it out of its case, and I lay these stones around that I've gathered from certain places. Well, when I took these stones from Egypt out, they jumped out of my hand. They just started vibrating and jumped out of my
hand.
And I thought, oh, this is why they wanted to come with me. They wanted to rejoin or reconnect to that energy because they knew
wow.
I was coming.
Huh.
So it was just quite amazing. That was a rather amazing story. And then I think I met an Avatar there who insisted that I come back for the eclipse.
Uh-huh.
And that's another amazing story. I have so many amazing stories.
Well, keep going.
Huh?
I keep going. I love them.
Yeah. Well, I can share this one with you. It was my last day, and we just got to Avebury, which I believe actually has more power than Stonehenge, but we had just gone to Avebury, and then we were going up to Silbury Hill, I think that's what you call it.
Yeah, Silbury.
And is that what they call it?
I think so.
Okay, thank you. I have so much information, it's hard to remember. But anyway, there was this man during the whole trip who had been wanting to talk to me, and I was just having so much fun. I was just too busy, and I didn't want to have any serious conversations. I just kind of wanted to experience. And so the last day I was there, when we were getting out of the car, and to preface this, that morning I had put on a necklace, a little pendant,
uh-huh.
that I had gotten from Glastonbury, and it was my only souvenir, because, you know, I don't make tons of money, so I don't have a lot of spending money when I go to places, but I always try to get something that reminds me of the place. So I had bought this necklace from Glastonbury, and I'd had it on my neck that morning.
Uh-huh.
And when we came out of the crop circle to go over to Avebury, it was gone, and I couldn't find it. And we tore the car apart. I took my clothes off. I couldn't find it because the chain was there, but just the pendant was gone.
Strange.
And I said, "Oh my God!" And I said, "Well, I guess spirit wants this here, you know." And I just had to let it go. If it's lost in the crop circle, how, you know, it's like a needle in a haystack. So we were standing there, and this guy gets out of his car that had been trying to talk to me. He was just a tall fellow. And he came over to me, and he said, I really need to talk to you. And I said, okay. There was no place to run. So I said, okay. And he said, are you going to be here for the eclipse? And I said, no. I said, there's no way. Because this was in July, and the eclipse was in August. I mean, I had to go home and work, and, I couldn't. He said, is there any way that you could stay? It's just really important that you're here. And I said, well, I can't imagine why it would be important that I'm here. But I can't stay. And he says, well, there's going to be an eclipse. And, you know, the Mary Michael lines there are going to open. And I said, I don't know anything about Mary Michael lines. And he said, well, there are these snake-like lines that wrap around the earth. And they do go through Mount Shasta.
Anyway,
and they wrap around, and they go through, they go through Glastonbury and Avebury, and one of the major points where they cross is at the top of Silver Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had never heard of them before, but they're energy lines, and they represent the male-female. And Mary Michael, the Mary Michael, and they're called Mary Michael lines.
Okay.
And so I said, well, there's just no way I can be here. And I said, I just can't imagine that you would need my energy. When, you know, there's going to be thousands of people here. I mean, I'm sure that you'll have enough energy here. And he said, he just kept begging, you know, like, please, is there any way that you can be here? And I said, well, I just can't. I can't afford it. He said, can't you stay? And I said, no. I said, I can't. I have to go home. I have clients. I have to work. And I said, I just can't imagine coming back in less than a month to England. I mean, that's a big trip from California.
Yeah.
So he said, will you do me a favor? And I said, okay. And he said, will you bury something of yours on top of the hill? And I said, well, I would love to, but the only thing I lost this morning, so I can't bury it. And I said, otherwise I would. And he said, well, I have some crystals in the back of my car. Would you take a crystal and bury it, and then would you take another crystal home with you? And at 11:11, which is what time the eclipse was, would you send energy to England? And I said, okay, I can do that. So we went to his car, got the crystals, and my friend and I went up to, I was with a friend, and we went up the hill, we hiked up. This was when it was still open to the public, and we had to climb over a fence, and I had my crystal bowl. And so I went and I got this stick, and I wanted to dig a hole because this is limestone. That's very difficult to dig.
Yeah.
And so I went and put the stick in the ground, and this hole opened up.
It just opened
up. Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow.
So I just dropped the crystal down, and I just dropped it down, and then I did the sound work. You know, I toned.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to get up to put my crystal bowl away and pick up my little blanket that I was sitting on. And when I went to pick it up, on the ground was that pendant.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, okay, God, I don't need another message. I'll be here on August. I'll be here in August for the eclipse. So the friend that I went through the portal with was going to be in England at that time. And I knew that I needed to travel with a masculine energy because I would represent, of course, the feminine energy. So we went and we got this book on someone had doused the lines in England.
Uh-huh.
And we traveled from Glastonbury all around and we hiked into paddocks and did sound work. And we did all this work with the lines, with the...
The ley line?
Where the points cross and stuff. Okay. And it's the day before the eclipse, we went to Silver Hill.
Wow.
And it turned out there were three other guys there plus my friends. So that was four guys and myself. And we formed a five-pointed star.
Oh, yeah, a pentagram.
Pentagram, thank you. We formed a pentagram on top of the hill, and we toned. altogether. And it was amazing. And then I found out, like, when I was in France, somebody said, I told him the story, and he said, so you're the one. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, do you know that there's a sinkhole at the top of Silver Hill that about 6 months after that eclipse, it opened up, and there's a sinkhole there, and nobody can go up there now. So, and, you know, I don't know if I participated in it or not. But
wow.
Who knows, you know.
Wow.
I took my energy there just as I was directed. So I went to England twice that year.
Jeez.
It was amazing. And then I went to Australia in September of that year.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to New Zealand in December. And I actually, the New Zealand trip was, it was by God's design that I ended up in New Zealand. I was deported from Australia.
Really? What happened?
I was, yes, into New Zealand, yes.
Huh.
And so I ended up spending 2 months in New Zealand instead of Australia. It was amazing.
Maybe I won't touch that one.
Yeah. No, it was like Spirit wanted me where Spirit wanted me, that's all.
And right, and they just move us around like, you know, the pieces that we are.
The only way to get me there was to deport me there because I didn't have sense enough to go. I didn't even know what New Zealand was, really. I didn't.
Uh-huh.
And it's magical, by the way.
Is it?
And it's not a surprise to me that there's a lot more activity in New Zealand now, more people going there to visit, more it's on the map, they're making movies there, movie stars are coming out of there. Because when I was there, I realized why I had been brought to New Zealand. I understood why I had to be there instead of Australia. And it's because New Zealand actually represents, because I was there for the millennium, 2000.
Okay.
And New Zealand, it's two islands. One came up from a volcanic activity.
Okay.
And one was split off from Australia. So there are these two islands that came together and they formed this union. And so they're the archetype of the heart and mind coming together, which is the Lemurian and the Atlantean energy.
Oh.
And one island is very Lemurian, which is the North Island, and the South Island is very Atlantean. And those two energies came together, the heart and the mind came together, and they formed a union, and they live collectively and independently together.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. And so they're this archetype of what we're here to do as well, is to bring our hearts and minds together and to live in... collectively, as one, individually. And so it's just an amazing place. It really is.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you do an awful lot of healing for the planet itself.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And in that process, you know, everyone ends up winning.
Yes. Well, I get healed a lot from Gaia. I mean, the rocks and... I wrote a song, and the song, the words are, the rocks and the mountains speak to me, they tell me of the truth. The rivers gently flowing, they speak to me of heart. The trees in all their splendor, they share with me their strength. And the seagull flies and the eagle soars on the never-ending wind and with freedom reigns. These are my companions, these are my guides.
Wow.
And so I believe that we're being guided all the time by all these incredible things around us if we just open ourselves up and let it happen.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that some have said even recently that it's through toning that we actually create from nothing, that if we knew how to do it, that we'd be able to pull things out of the earth and shape and you know, basically do about anything. You know,
well, I believe that's probably true. I mean, after all, there is a theory that all of this was created with a bang.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, if that's possible, that's possible.
Well, I just hope that we're, you know, uniting and actually coming together again. And what's your take on Gaia at this time? Is she going to be going through any earth changes or... are we being gently led through this process, do you think? Or do we hold on to our hats?
I think it depends on your point of view if you're being led gently or not. I really do think it's a point of view. And I do believe Guy is going through a lot of changes, and I think you're seeing it. I think you're seeing it with all the weather and the changes and stuff. But Guy goes through changes all the time.
Yeah.
But this might be just a very big shakeup. I think it corresponds with astrology somehow. Every 26,000 years,
uh-huh.
there's probably a shift which corresponds with going through all the cycles of the planetary changes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe strongly that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe there are changes that are happening. And I believe that Gaia will be here long before we are. I mean, it'll be here a
long
time after we're gone.
Yeah.
So Gaia goes through many things. It goes through many changes, and it endures, just like we go through many changes and we endure.
Mm-hmm.
It's as above, so below. I mean, it's not really much different, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the cycle of things. It's the evolution of things. It's the process of things. So I don't think it's much different for Gaia than it is for us, to be honest. I think
maybe just a slightly different time frame.
Yes, well, yeah. Yes.
And there are some who say that that the benevolent ETs, as opposed to negative-oriented ETs, if they mm-hmm. exist, are holding many of these changes in place so that we don't have to experience such an upheaval. And, of course, there's no way for me to verify any of that, but we'll just have to wait and see as you know, the months and years unravel towards 2012 and what
yeah.
it holds for humanity.
It's an exciting time to be here, isn't it?
Oh,
so?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Before I forget, and I won't forget, I want to get your website so that people can find you.
Yes, it's www.ancientsounds.com, ANCIENTS, sounds.com.
Okay.
And, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
And can people find your CDs on there as well?
Yes, they can.
Okay, good. I think
yeah.
I'm going to get one.
Are you? Oh, good.
I like the sound of that one that you said you liked, Ancient Sounds in Paradise.
Ancient Sounds in Paradise. It's just it's an incredible CD.
And just the fact that it was kind of, you know, it was pulled together, you know, by chance, and it just flowed well, and because you like it, I have a feeling it's a very good one.
Yes.
So you might be seeing my name pop up on your site real soon.
Okay, great. I would love everyone to feel free to contact me or order. I would love to. I would love for them to experience it. I have bath salts that I tone into as well, and they're quite magical. People say that when you sit in the bathtub and listen to a CD and have a candle on,
oh.
you take journeys, that other like beings come and work with them, and they experience it, and they have these journeys. So
wow.
I can't guarantee that that's going to happen for people, because I'm not the one creating the intention, but the intention was created with them. I mean, I instill that intention into the salts when I toned them.
Yeah.
That they would be used for the highest and best interest of all those that use them. And
wow. It sounds like they have healing properties as well.
Yes, they do. They have essential oils
mm-hmm.
in them. One's called...
All right. Well, I guess that's our cue, Mary.
Okay, Lance. It's been so much fun.
Oh, it was wonderful. And you'll be hearing from me, and I want to thank you so much. You're really a wonderful soul. And it's just such an honor and a privilege to talk to you. So I send you all my blessings, and I want to hear from you again sometime, and we'll have another chat.
Okay, I can be on your show again if you'd like.
I'd love it.
It's fun.
Love it.
Thank you. I hope I didn't talk too much.
Oh, you were perfect.
Okay.
And so this is another Fireside Chat, and we thank Mary Ebersparker for being with us, and this is your host signing out, Zany Mystic. Good night, all. Many blessings.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.